And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. This is the big day, folks. This is it. Election day. And we are seeing people turning out in unprecedented numbers. My understanding is that we've already got 100 million people having voted. We have already reached the threshold of last year, and we've still got 6-7 hours of voting to do. And we haven't counted yet. I don't think we've counted the mail-in ballots yet, because, of course, there's no way to know until those actually show up. So we are going to see an unprecedented vote. I've been saying this all along. I still believe it. Nothing has changed my mind, even though there have been times when you listen to the polls and you listen to the predictions and you listen to what people are saying. They were suggesting that my proposition is dubious. But my analysis of what was going to happen in this election has not changed. And here it is. It's based on 2 points. Point number one, I believe that God chose Donald J. Trump to be president of the United States for this nation for such a time as this. And I don't believe that having chosen him and gotten him elected, that God would then abandon him and allow him to lose this election, and then those who hate everything he stood for to come in and reverse it and undo it and start this country down a Marxist, socialist, communist, secularist, atheist direction. In fact, to accelerate that direction, because that's the direction they've been trying to lead the country in for decades now. So just on a spiritual basis, I just didn't believe that God would allow what he started to be interrupted. You know, the word says, he that has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe that God started a good work and that he's going to finish that work. And finishing that work means a second term with President Donald Trump. But the second thing is really more political. And just more practical. And it's this. I really believe that this president has stirred up something in the American people that we desperately needed. You know, he's been accused of being divisive, but actually the president inherited a divided nation, and he's the one who has brought unity, at least in this sense. Unity in terms of our love and respect for our country, and our desire for it to be a place of peace and prosperity for all of us. Now, those who don't share that view are not going to be unified with those of us who do. But for people who share that view, black, white, Hispanic, Indian, Asian, you know, name the ethnicity, name the whatever the racial construct is you want to create, Americans across all racial and cultural lines can unite around that common vision of a prosperous and peaceful nation that offers opportunity for all of our people to fulfill their God-given potential and to go to the highest place their abilities and hard work will take them. And I think that's resonating. Amazingly, it's resonating with rappers and hip-hop stars. It's resonating, obviously, with Christians and churches. It's resonating with young people and older people. I think we've tired of seeing our nation ripped apart and being told that if we don't go along with the social justice nonsense, and if we don't bow and genuflect to every demand, that we show obeisance for all the wrongs our country's done. If we don't do that, well, we're bad people. We're racist. We're bigots. We're haters, and we're deplorables. And whatever, here again, whatever name they can come up with to label us. And I think the American people just say, you know what? Enough. And for those Americans of African descent whose ancestors were slaves, and I'm one of those, I just have to think that, like me, they look ahead to the future and say, is this what I want for my children and grandchildren? Do I want a nation in which everybody is looking at each other suspiciously based on the color of their skin? Do I want a nation in which a certain group of people is condemned because they are supposed to be the oppressors and another group of people are somehow treated with kid gloves and sympathy, like they're some kind of handicapped, incapable group because they're supposed to be the victims of the oppressors? Is that what we want for the future of our country? And I think that there are a lot of people, not necessarily pastors, not necessarily born-again believers, who are looking at that and saying, that's no future at all. That's not a future. That's a nightmare. And I think that those people who don't necessarily want to be called names because they're supporting President Trump and don't necessarily want to risk losing their job and don't necessarily want to have their business hurt because these people are vicious when you don't go along with them, those folks are saying, you know what? I won't say anything, but when the time comes, I'm going to the voting booth and I'm going to cast my vote for Donald Trump. I've had it. And I think we're going to see a stunning victory for this president, in spite of all the predictions, once again, that he was going to lose, that Biden's been ahead all along. And of course, Biden was going to win. I think in spite of all of that, I think we're going to see a win. And I've been predicting, by the way, even though the polls have been saying that they thought it would be a very narrow win, maybe a little over 270 electoral votes, I think that the president's going to win by a larger margin than he won by last time. I do. I believe that. So we shall see, because the votes are now being made and the count will at some point be done, I trust. Some point in the next week or so, the count will be done. And I think when all the dust settles, we're going to have four more years of President Donald Trump. Now, before I start taking your calls, because I want to know a couple of things from you. A, have you voted? You don't have to tell me who you voted for. You're welcome to if you choose to, but you don't have to do that. What was the polling place like for you? If you went to a polling place, if you voted today, was it crowded? Were there long lines? What's your sense of the mood of people? I'd like for you all to be my reporters, my ambassadors today, and just give me the report from the field. What happened in your particular neck of the woods? So that's one. The second thing is that if you did not vote, because my guess is probably the majority of our audience probably voted for President Trump. But that doesn't mean that everybody listening to this program did. And if you did not particularly, please call me, because I'd really love to hear why you voted for Joe Biden, assuming you did vote for him. I mean, maybe you didn't vote for anybody at the presidential level. I don't know. But if you didn't vote for President Trump, I'd certainly love to hear that. And by the way, that's not to ridicule you or to in any way belittle you or to demean you. It's an actual question. I just want to hear your reasoning, if you didn't vote for President Trump, your reasoning for why you did not. Just curious to know it. And believe me, you'll be treated with respect. So don't have any fear or intimidation of being mistreated because you don't agree with me on this particular election. So here's what I think this boils down to. I've been thinking about this a lot because, you know, often the economy is uppermost in everybody's mind. And it, of course, it should be, because, I mean, my goodness gracious, we depend upon the economy to have jobs and run businesses and to feed our families and clothe and house those for whom we're responsible and so forth. So it's very, very important. I want to raise two other issues, and I want to contrast the difference between what I think we'll get with President Trump's reelection and what we'll get with Joe Biden. Stand by. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Today is Election Day, and two important questions might or might not be resolved tonight. The first question is, who will win the election? Given the number of mail-in ballots still to count, we may not know. The second question is, how peaceful will be our transition of power? In the past, we've had a few bumps in the road. Back in 1960, there were questions about whether John F. Kennedy won the presidency fairly. Rumors quickly spread that voting in Illinois and Texas had been manipulated. Perhaps the narrow margin of victory indicated that the vote total should be challenged, but Richard Nixon conceded the election because he said, "Our country cannot afford the agony of a constitutional crisis." In 2000, George W. Bush led Al Gore in Florida after the first results were tallied. Because the vote was so close, a statewide recount was implemented. The machine count was even closer, so a legal battle developed. Those of you who are older probably remember the debate over the hanging chads. The case finally reached the Supreme Court that ruled that the hand counts unconstitutional and essentially declared Bush the winner. Al Gore then conceded by saying, "While I strongly disagree with the court's decision, I accept it." What about this election? President Donald Trump has made it clear that he might not concede the election if it is close, if there are voter irregularities. Former Vice President Joe Biden has been encouraged not to concede the election tonight. Given the uncertainty, the decision by both candidates is probably reasonable. If one candidate wins the election in a landslide, then none of these concerns cited many weeks ago will actually matter. But if the election is close, or the votes in some battleground states are questioned, the election could go into overtime. We'll know in a few hours. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
Two reminders for Election Day. This is Ken Ham, CEO of the Apologetics Ministry of Answers in Genesis. Today's election day in the United States, and it's an important day, and there's certainly going to be a mix of emotions when the results are released. But as Christians, let's remember two things today. One, God is sovereign over everything. God's word says he raises up kings and destroys kingdoms. He's in control, seeing the end from the beginning, and has a plan in everything. We can trust him, even if the person we're hoping would win tonight doesn't win. And two, this world is not our home. We're only passing through. While we're here, our primary mission is to share the gospel. As you discuss the election results with others, let those truths shine through.
Find answers to your questions about science, the Bible, creation, evolution, and more at AnswersRadio.com. View a transcript of this program when you visit AnswersRadio.com.
Brian Fisher here. Trump has had to campaign against big tech and big media. Can they fool enough people to stop him? Trump holds a rally in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a city destroyed by Joe Biden voters. The Kamala Harris bail fund frees another child molester. What are the chances of a Trump landslide? And brace yourselves for vote-by-mail chaos. It's already here, next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
There are three things that are uppermost in my mind, and I know the economy tends to supersede almost everything else, and COVID is very important because, of course, it hinges on the economy, or the economy hinges on COVID, to put it perhaps more accurately. But I think that there's some things that we are not giving sufficient attention to in terms of what would be the difference if we got a Joe Biden presidency versus a Donald Trump presidency. And I want to break this up into three categories: culture, economy, and national security. And I'll be brief, and when we get done with this, I'm going to start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. We don't talk much about culture in our country, but I think all of you would agree with me that our culture has gone through a rather brutal assault. There has been an attempt to undermine our Judeo-Christian history and values and heritage. There's been an attack on faith. Now, to be a person of faith, just ask Chris Platt, who goes to a Bible-believing church. Oh, you're a bigot. You're a hater. That church believes that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. That's an anti-gay church. Who ever thinks of a Bible-believing church as anti-gay? This is the perverse view that has been propagated by these hypersexual, rather perverse people who really think that all the sexual mores, the rules that God gave us, are just antiquated ideas by bigoted, narrow-minded people. They don't have any respect or recognition of the fact that God designed us, created us, and gave us rules whereby we're supposed to behave for our own good, by the way. And so they've attacked faith viciously. And we saw that with COVID, how quickly they wanted to shut down churches and shut up pastors and so forth. Family, we've seen that. Family is an important part of our culture. Family is made up, generally speaking, of a husband and a wife and children. No, we're going to redefine that. We're going to change that in keeping with the whole Marxist view that family is nothing but a bourgeois institution that serves to subjugate people. We are going to undo that, and we're going to undo that by creating a whole new set of mores and instilling those in the children so they step back from their parents and say, their parents, oh, they're idiots. They're idiots. Well, they believe all this crazy stuff about, you know, what the Bible says and all that. But there's a vicious attack on faith, on family, on ethics and morality, because we've now got moral and ethical relativism. And by the way, this includes, or certainly closely related to, our view of ourselves. Because while they reject the biblical morality that God gave us, they embrace this new morality that tends to condemn America. America is all bad. America's terrible. America is the place of slavery. America committed genocide against the Native Americans. America exploits the world. America is a place of imperialism. America is a place to be hated. We need to bring America down. See, this is all part of this new modern culture the left has given us. And of course, each of us is to be identified by the color of our skin, or in some cases by whatever gender feeling the person has that particular day. The police are the enemy, of course, because they're nothing but tools of the bourgeoisie to keep the oppressed down. And so basically, you know, I've said this before, the left is trying to create a totalitarian Marxist culture that will eventually become a totalitarian Marxist government, because once, as Breitbart said, if politics is downstream of culture and you create a totalitarian culture, guess what's next? This president is a traditionalist. He's not a doctrinaire Franklin Graham, E.W. Jackson, preacher of the gospel of the word of God, but he's a traditionalist. Look at the way he's raised his family. Look at the way he's raised his children. No drugs, no drinking. Look at the way he conducts business in our country. You know, he's been saying, I don't take this big money from these Wall Street people, because if I do that, then they want to control me. This president has a love for our country and our culture, and he wants to preserve it. And you've got the left who thinks our country and our culture is fundamentally flawed and it needs to be fundamentally transformed. And if we as a nation elect Joe Biden, Katie bar the door, because they're like wild horses chomping at the bit to be turned loose on the society, the AOCs and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse and all of these leftists that are out there now. They just can't wait to get their hands on the levers of power so that they can open the floodgates for illegal immigration. Because after all, the country doesn't belong to us. Who do we think we are to say we have a sovereign nation? We stole the land anyway from Mexico, and anybody who wants to come here should be able to come here. And who do we think we are to tell people they can't vote because they're not citizens? Who do we think we ought to tell people that they can't take a job from an American? If they got here, they're just as entitled as anybody. I mean, this is the craziness we've got. It's straight out of that they're going to give us. It's straight out of the Marxist playbook, which is they don't believe in the state. They don't want a state. They want workers of the world unite under the banner, ultimately, of Marxism, communism, socialism. So traditional values, culture, ideals in President Trump or a fundamental transformation of our country, in my view, on an accelerated basis now, if Joe Biden becomes president of the United States. On the economy, I'll sum it up this way. Did you hear that Kamala Harris, Comrade Kamala, said, we need to make it so that everybody ends up in the same place? What? Excuse me, what? Yeah, because how in the world can it be fair if you and I start off in two different places? So basically, she's just come out of the closet as a communist. Because that's what communism says. And by the way, so what are you going to do for those of us who weren't born Rockefellers or weren't born Gates or weren't born Buffetts and don't have parents and have billions of dollars? What about us? What happens to us? Oh, well, maybe they have to adopt us. Or maybe they just take their money and just evenly divide it up. It's so silly, and it would be laughable, except that the power of the state that is necessary to effect this end result the same for everyone is monstrous. And we've seen it happen before. And of course, that's what energy, this whole energy and healthcare stuff, this stuff is about control. That's what it's about. It's not about saving the planet, although they may be deluded into thinking that that's what they're going to do. But we've already got somebody who's done that, frankly, and his name is Jesus. It's not about that. It's not about saving the planet. It's not about producing clean energy. It's about finding the means whereby you can exercise absolute control over the lives of other people. Because that's what they long for. That's what drives them. I told you all, that's what Marx was trying to create, the kingdom of God without God. And guess who's going to be the king in that kingdom? Karl Marx. And then lastly, national security. You cannot have a president who is not wholly devoted to the safety and security of the American people against all others. And Joe Biden, as far as I am concerned, I think the evidence is clear. He has been compromised. He is owned lock, stock, and barrel by communist China and who knows who else. You don't have tens of millions and ultimately billions of dollars passing hands with the son with whom you are very close and tell me that you don't know anything about it and it has nothing to do with you. I mean, that's a joke. That's a joke. And here again, I'm waiting for the letter. I'm waiting for the recording that says, son, you can't do that. I'm the vice president of the United States. I love this country. Any deals you enter into with foreign governments, particularly those in my portfolio, will be seen as influence peddling. It will compromise me. It will compromise you. And worst of all, it could compromise our country. We're not doing that. Haven't heard about that letter, have you? Haven't heard about that statement, have you? Because it was a wink and a nod. And when he told Bobulinski to take care of my brother and my son for wink, wink. It was, yeah, I know what you guys are doing and I'm fine with it. Just, you know, just look out for them. Keep them out of trouble. And of course, their word to him is don't ever say Biden's name. Don't ever use his name. You know, plausible deniability. Is that what we want in our leadership? Somebody who is looking for plausible deniability as opposed to looking for the very best for our country and our people. I want somebody who's willing to lay down his life for this country. Not somebody who's prepared to tell others, no, you all lay down your lives for me so that I can have the very best I want. And that has become the mindset of the Democrat Party. Telling people, you sacrifice, you accept everything that we have to say and everything that we want to do, and it's going to be painful, like Joe Biden said to this one guy who said that he had benefited from the Trump tax cuts, and Biden says to him, well, I tell you, look me, and I'm going to raise your taxes. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. That's exactly what I need you to take more of my money, because after all, I don't deserve it. To me, folks, that's the contrast. When I come back, I want to take your calls for the rest of the program. 888-589-8840.
It's my turn.
He
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Over in Workingham, England, there's a fellow by the name of John Baldwin. Mr. Baldwin was busy, it seems, doing nothing. He was so busy doing nothing that he got himself into trouble with the law. He was so busy doing nothing that he did not have time to pick up the mail that was piling up at his front door. Among the letters that Baldwin did not open were demands for tax payments. Baldwin was taken to court, freed on bail pending a tax probe, and allowed to return to his normal pursuits. When asked what he had accomplished in the 30 years he had devoted to restful research, Baldwin replied, "Nothing. That's what I set out to accomplish." Well, you know, there are a lot of folks in this old world who, although they don't go quite to the extreme that Mr. Baldwin does, seem to agree with him on this idea of doing nothing. Or if they do anything, it's for themselves only. And in a real sense, one could say that what Mr. Baldwin does, he does for himself only. It's a real shame that Mr. Baldwin and countless others who do nothing for anyone else and very little for themselves could not come under the influence of the master workman of the world. Their lives would all be a little different if he was allowed to motivate them instead of them attempting to motivate themselves. There is one thing that everyone can be thankful for, and that is that the Creator has not quit his job. Consider what the result would be if he should decide that he'd like to become busy doing nothing. You're talking about a mess? There would be a dilly. But he hasn't decided to quit, and he never will. The Galilean spoke to some who listened one day in the town of his trial, and he said, "My Father is working still, and I'm working." If we are hunting for something to be thankful for, there it is. It's a pity that Mr. Baldwin could not come under the influence of the great carpenter. The carpenter would give him some meaningful work to do and would make him happy doing something constructive in this world instead of doing nothing. Some people interested in the subject of doing the work of the Creator asked the carpenter one day, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And he answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Witness the work of those who have believed in him all over the world." Just before the terrible death, this man of all men spoke, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do." The one who gave him work to do gives each of us a job also. And to be sure, it's not a job of doing nothing. It would be a wonderful world if we could say the same thing he said before our death also. If you have something to do, get busy. If not, find something.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, this is kind of a modified First Amendment Friday, although it's Tuesday, but it's Election Day. So rather than going through a whole bunch of individual issues, I thought I'd just sort of outline the way I think about this election and then take your questions, comments, and your reflections. If you all have been to the polls, I mean, what's it looking like to you? And I've been told that the lines are long out there. So I'd just be curious to know what you think. And if you're somebody who did not vote for President Donald Trump, because I have a feeling probably the majority of our audience did, but you may be somebody who didn't, I'd love to hear from you and love for you to tell me why you thought it was appropriate not to vote for him, and then whether you voted for Biden or you just left that blank, because, you know, some people do that. They don't vote for the top of the ticket because they feel they don't have a rational choice there. So whatever you did, either way, if you want to share it with me, feel free. I'm not going to ask anybody how you voted because I'm not trying to put you on the spot. It's your business. If you want to share it, feel free. But if you don't, you're not going to get any pressure from me to do otherwise. Okay, the number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to Sherry in Mississippi. Sherry, welcome.
Hi. I have a question regarding, there's a group of born-again Christians that are looking for an answer before the polls close regarding whether or not President Donald Trump is pro-gay marriage based on a cabinet member calling him the most pro-gay president in American history, and proclaiming that, and President Trump supposedly tweeting that it is his great honor. And so they're struggling to vote for him, but they do not want to vote for Joe Biden.
Well, let me give you my answer to that. I would never describe this president as pro-gay marriage. I think the president is a New Yorker whose attitude is live and let live. And I heard him say one time, you know, he really doesn't care. You know, people can live however they want to live. And on a certain level, even we as Christians agree with that. I mean, people can live however they want to live. What we don't want is for them to affect policy that tries to change the very nature of the culture and make this the norm, or somehow make this acceptable to be taught in the schools and taught in the colleges and advanced in all of the institutions of our culture. Here's how I would describe the president. I'd say two things. I'd say, number one, I think he has that kind of mindset. Look, live and let live. You know, do what you want to do. Don't hurt anybody else. But I do believe this. I believe that the president, if push come to shove, between First Amendment freedom and any kind of so-called LGBT rights, I believe that the president already has shown he will side with the church, because he doesn't want Christians persecuted for our Judeo-Christian and biblical values. And that, to me, while the latter, whether he actually would support gay marriage under any circumstances, is not unimportant, it is more important to me that he would defend my right to oppose it and defend my right not to be persecuted, my church not to be persecuted, that he would oppose the Equality Act, for example, that would make any effort to distinguish between people based upon their presumed or their confessed sexual orientation a matter of discrimination, even by the church. And so that's why I come down in favor of President Trump, because I think that the most important thing under these circumstances is that he will defend the right of the church to be the church and not to have to be beholden to or answerable to this whole leftist LGBTQ cabal of militant radical activists. By the way, I would add one other thing. I don't care what somebody in his cabinet, because he's had a couple of homosexuals work for him, obviously, and they're conservative in their orientation, but they're still wrong about the way they're living. The LGBT community hates his guts. I mean, they hate him. They sense something. I mean, if he were really pro, quote unquote, pro same-sex marriage, they wouldn't hate him. I mean, they hate the man with a vengeance. And I think it's because he really does tend to represent more conservative Christian and Judeo-Christian values. And I think his attitude is more just, hey, you know what? Live and let live. I'm not interested in trying to hurt anybody based upon how they choose to live. But here again, his defense of our First Amendment rights, to me, is what ultimately puts the scale in his favor in terms of supporting him on that particular issue. Okay, Sherry, so I hope that helps, Sherry. Thank you so much for the call. I hope that helps some others, too, who might be facing a similar kind of question. Let's go to... let's go to Paul in Texas. Paul, welcome. Oops, wait a minute. There we go. Let me almost miss you there. There you go. Paul in Texas. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I'm just calling to remark on my voting experience. I live here and live and vote in Collin County, which is the county straight north of Dallas. And I went at about 10:30 at Collin College, and there was no waiting for anything. I went straight to the registration desk. There was a whole row of open machines. The workers there did say, you know, there was the go, you know, before work crowd, that maybe the wait was about an hour. They were at least tight for about an hour this morning. But I think you can really attribute that to the COVID mail-in ballots. And also, mm-hmm. since Governor Abbott extended early voting by a whole week, I think the vast majority of Texans have voted. It'd be interesting to see if people, you know, live in Dallas County or Harris County, the really bigger ones. But anyway, smooth as silk, no problems, no Good. Conflicts. You know, the poll greeters out there, beautiful weather. So at least for here, it was a very easy experience.
Well, Paul, let me ask you before you go, do you think Texas will remain red?
Yes. I believe for sure we will remain this cycle. We have impinging pressures from migration. And for example, right here in Collin County, just down the street is the new headquarters of Toyota and the new headquarters of Liberty Mutual, both of which are corporate refugees, one from California and one from New York because of their governmental policies. And while the people that work for them may wonder why they had to move states, they tend to keep their, you know, leftist and liberal ideology with them. So we're getting a lot of left-leaning immigrants, so to speak. I wish we had better border control, but hey, at least we still seem to have some freedom still left in the United States, and that's what I was voting for today.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for the call, and glad to hear that you believe that Texas will remain red. Look, we need Texas to remain red, that's for sure. Texas is a kind of bulwark. Texas is, in a sense, Texas is our wall against the leftist onslaught. So thanks so much, Paul. Let's go to Wesley in Georgia. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, Bishop. Got to the polls this morning about 6:45. And live in a pretty rural community, and it was everything went smoothly. I knew about 90% of the people in line, and I'm 99% sure that they were all voting. So that was good news. The poll workers were very nice and helpful. And side note, as I mentioned, I live in a rural community, and I've got a lot of friends and acquaintances in their 40s and 50s who generally, you know, live pretty quiet lives. They work hard, take care of their families, and they don't really get involved in politics. But a lot of them are voting for the first time and voting for President Trump because they see, you know, what's at stake. And, you know, even though they're not very political, so to speak, they want to be able to provide for their families and live their lives as they see they want to live them instead of the government, you know, telling them how to live it. So that's encouraging. So hopefully the people all over the country will be doing the same, I hope.
So Wesley, let me ask you the same question I just asked the last caller. Do you think Georgia will remain red? Because they're making noises about Georgia being on the edge.
Yeah, I think we'll stay red. You know, Stacey Abrams came close to winning our governor race a couple years ago, but that was, of course, you know, in a midterm, and I think a lot of people were just voting for her because she was a woman and a person of color. You know, we've talked about that, but Governor Kemp's done a great job, and I think people realize what's at stake, and I think we'll remain red at least for now. You know, Atlanta's really, most of the state is conservative. It's really Atlanta, just like a lot of these states, like Illinois. Illinois is a real conservative state, but Chicago kind of ruins that, and that's in California even. You know, the big. That's the danger we have with these big cities. You know, most of America is a conservative country.
Right, right.
You know, that's what's so great about the Electoral College. You know, that's what's so great about the Electoral College.
Amen. And that's another one. That's a topic for another discussion, Wesley. We got to maintain the Electoral College in order to preserve our union as a republic of states. But here, man, that's good news. Thank you for the call. Stand by, folks. Back in a moment.
Airing the Addisons.
I said, tell me where we can go in scripture and read that. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a list of books.
Will and Mickey Addison bring biblical perspective to issues affecting the church and the family.
There is nothing that compels us to seek something outside of the Bible because the Bible is not sufficient. Mm.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons, 2 to 3 Central on American Family Radio.
And people don't know how to combat the lies because they don't even know that those are lies.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
We're Bible League International, and for more than 80 years, we've been engaging the world with God's Word for only $5 a Bible. Here's Pastor Dewesi in Ethiopia.
We have a great need. We don't need food in the church, but they are only crying out that you give them the Word of God. And whoever comes and is able to give us a Bible, it will be better than giving us food to eat.
You know, that pastor's not denying the need for physical nourishment, but he's stressing the urgent need for the spiritual nourishment that comes only from God's Word for Christians in his country and for millions around the world who have been denied a Bible. In fact, at Bible League, we estimate that as many as 90% of the evangelical community around the world where we serve cannot access God's Word and be reminded of his promises on a daily basis. Learn how you can be a blessing by visiting sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org or by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. God bless you for care.
And I kneeled down and I said, what's going on, bud?
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and Stacy Gagnon describes the incident that led to her and her husband opening their home to kids in foster care.
And he looked at me, and I just remember his face, you know, just streaked with tears, and he said, they took me from my home last night. I went to a foster home in this town, and I don't know the lady's name I'm staying with, and I don't even know what bus to ride. And I was just horrified that one of my students was living this. And so I did a little more investigation and found out that in my community that they were having to stack children in homes because they didn't have enough foster homes. And so I went to Darren and just said, you know, we need to do this. We can be a home for kids. We have extra room and, you know, we can do that.
Yeah.
And so I guess the rest then is history.
Hear more from Stacy at familyminute.org.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, folks, we've got full lines, and I've got about 10 minutes before the program ends. I want to get every one of you in if I can. 888-589-8840 is the number. Somebody may drop off. You can jump in there. But I ask for anybody who is voting for who voted for Joe Biden to call me, and I got such a person calling right now, so let's go to him right away. This is George in North Dakota. George, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. Nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you for calling. Nice to talk to you, too.
Well, I am here in the ruby red state of North Dakota, and I thought I was the only Biden supporter, but apparently I'm not. So I think the Democrats.
You thought you were the only one, huh?
I thought I was, but, you know what? Should be scary if you're a Republican is this is the first time I've seen a number of Democrat banners and signs and posters up. You would never see that before. You never saw that in the 2016 election. So it's quite scary, I think, if you are a Republican, because even in 2016, it was scary, or it was pretty much a given that Texas and Georgia were going to vote Republican.
Well, George, George, I've got a limited amount of time. I want to know from you. Tell me why you're supporting Joe Biden. And you've only got about 45 seconds to a minute now to get that out. But tell me why you're supporting it.
Okay. Forgive me for rambling. I am supporting Joe Biden because I like his policies. I like the fact that he's going to try and move us towards universal health care, free education, and those don't necessarily mean socialism.
Well, wait a minute.
I like his policies.
What was it? You said health care, and then you mentioned education?
Yes.
What about education? He's opposed to school
free
choice.
Free education for trades.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So free, free education, not college education necessarily, but free training, that kind of thing.
Oh, no, free trades, yeah.
Oh, okay. We don't have time to get into a real debate on this, but yeah, I would beg to differ on the health care issue. I think socialism under Antonio Gramsci's influence attempts to come in, instead of by revolution now, attempts to come in by undermining institutions of a free society and shifting people over to more and more and more government dependence. I think that that's the name of the game these days. And I think healthcare is just a primary tool of that strategy. So we wouldn't agree on that, although we probably agree that we want every American to be able to get decent health care. We would just disagree on what the best way is to do that. My way, with more free enterprise involvement and health care savings accounts and greater competition, leaves people free to make their own choices. The way you suggested, I think, is a little bit dangerous. Wow. George, I wish I had more time to talk to you. Call me back again, though, okay? Because you sound like a nice guy. And who knows? Maybe I'll persuade you to think differently. But thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it, George. God bless you. Brave man from North Dakota. All right. God bless you. Let's see. Let's go to Frank in Michigan. Frank, welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I voted for Trump. I come from Mexico. This is my first election that I voted.
Congratulations.
I came the right way. But it was really hard to actually get the citizenship. I worked so hard for it. But I own a small business, and the reason why I'm calling is that, you know, in Mexico they have the PRI, which is like a political party, but it's full of corruption, and it kind of mirrors the Democratic Party. And I can see they went after the church, and then like people that actually stood against them, they got in silence,
Wow.
And I see the beginnings of that movement. The people it was kind of like a caste system. You can never get out of the hole. If you were born in poverty, you will never be able to have the opportunity to be what it is. I mean, I come from nothing, and right now I own a small business. I was looking at his policies, at Biden's policies, and he will destroy my business. And then the second one is the right to life. I mean, why won't you fight for the voice of the unborn? You know.
Well, I'll tell you something. You do my heart good, Frank, because here again, you remind us all that America is not about a race. It's not about a color. America is about a set of ideals that we all subscribe to. Like you've come here, you're starting a business, you're building a life for yourself, and you got the freedom to do that. And that's what we can all celebrate together. And you're right. The left in our country particularly is using race and ethnicity, Hispanic versus white and white versus this and that and the other, to try to just divide us and keep everybody fighting each other over the crumbs that drop from the Democrat master's table. So God bless you that you're here and you're making a life for yourself. Frank, I'm so glad to hear from you. Call me again because I want to talk to you about how we're going to convince more and more of our Hispanic brothers and sisters that this is the issues that we are dealing with are not about being anti-Hispanic or anti any group. It is about being pro-American and trying to do the things that are best for all of us. And that includes you and me and anybody else who wants to make the most of what this country has to offer. So thank you, my friend. Appreciate hearing from you. Let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, welcome.
Hello. Good afternoon, Bishop.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Yeah, I'm your number one fan in this part of Texas. I'm originally from the Philippines.
That's right, Mark. Good to hear from you again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And I have so much to talk to you about, but I know you're pressed for time. I just want to let you know that I think Texas is going to be going for Trump again. Mm-hmm. I am a home health therapist, and everywhere I went in my work, which is 70-mile radius of Huntsville, Texas, it's overwhelmingly Trump yard signs that I see. Even vehicles that have flags have Trump flags. I see a occasional Biden yard sign, but if that is the indication of who will Texas carry, I think it will be Trump.
Well, Mark, from as they say, from your lips to God's ears, my friend. Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate you calling me. God bless you. Call me back again. You're my number one fan, Mark, out of your own mouth. Thank you so much. Let's go to Terry in Florida. Terry, welcome.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to call and report that here in Duval County, my husband and I went to vote. There were people already in line 15 minutes before 7. When the poll opened, there was a line wrapped around the building. I was concerned about the organization and just the competency of the poll workers, but my husband and I prayed and just believed that everything would be well and done in order. And so as of 11 a.m., it is reported from one of the local news stations that 38,000 ballots have been cast this morning. So I just want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for being on the front line. I'm a person of color, and I just really look to your wisdom that you share, and I just thank you for all of the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you so much, Terry. That's very kind of you. Terry, what part of Florida are you in, did you say?
Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that again? What part of Florida?
Jacksonville, Florida.
Now, where is Jacksonville? What part of Florida is that in?
We're in North Florida, probably about an hour away from Orlando.
Oh, okay. Okay. North Florida, about an hour away from Orlando. All right. All right. Well, I was just there for a couple of days, but I was in Tampa, which I guess is kind of in the central part of the state, right? But hey, Terry, it is so good to hear from you. Thank you for the encouraging words, and you just stay in the fight, and God bless you. Appreciate you calling. All right. Let's go to, we've got time. Yes. Let's go to JD in Texas. JD, welcome.
Hey, good to talk to you, Mr. Bishop. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for everything you do. And I'd like to also say I'm 20 years old, my wife and I both, and we both voted for Donald Trump because for one part of our reasons, our Christian beliefs, I personally can't vote for somebody that would support abortion. And the other thing, we both, Lord willing, are looking forward to bright futures living in this wonderful country. And I personally feel that not voting for Donald Trump would not make our futures as bright. So I appreciate everything you do, and I really hope Trump comes out with a win tonight.
All right, JD, thank you so much for the call. I'll tell you, folks, you all have really inspired and encouraged me today because hearing from different people, different backgrounds, JD, 20 years old, who was it? Was it Frank from formerly from Mexico? And this is America. See, and this is what we're fighting for. This is what we're celebrating. The left has got it all wrong. They think that somehow we think that Donald Trump is the Messiah sent to save us all. Now, we see Donald Trump as an important leader sent to stop this slide into Marxism and socialism and communism and moral and cultural relativism and try to put this country back into its proper perspective to get us all to understand that we want our country to be first in our hearts and in terms of our responsibility, of course, in the world. And we want this country to be great. We want America to be great. And we're not ashamed of our country. We don't feel we have to apologize for our country. And these are the things that he represents and that unite all of us, regardless of our background, regardless of our skin color, regardless of where our ancestors came from. I think I said on the other night, whether your ancestors came on the Mayflower ship or a slave ship doesn't really matter because we're all in the same boat now. And we've got to work together and build the very best country we can for our posterity. And I think that's what this election is ultimately all about, whether America's cast on the dung heap of history as some sort of socialist totalitarian state or whether we remain a shining city on a hill. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.